short ears, medium-ish ears, long ears? What do you like on a Batman?
Long aesthetically, okay? Mm-hmm. But I like medium to short. But, I mean, imagine having long ears and cosplaying with long ears and walking through normal doorways. It's not fun. Like, it doesn't look cool. It doesn't look cool when Batman's got to walk through doorways doing a limbo.
Yeah, he's got, yeah. You know, it's either back or it's forward. You've got to pick one, you know? You see some of the new stuff in the background? You see some of the new stuff with the moonlight over here? I know you guys saw this from the Instagram, right? And maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Side Project Podcast. Take a drink from the Run It Up mug, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know why I'm holding it so weird when we have a handle. That's what handles are for. From the Run It Up mug, wearing the Run It Up shirt, we are running it up today. Take a drink in unison, all of us at the same time.
Run it up, run it up, run it up.
Tastes so good.
Run it up.
It's just water. Drinking a lot of water. How is everybody doing, man? Haven't hit one of those in a long time. God, it feels good. By the time this comes out, I will probably almost be in New York for New York Comic Con. And maybe you're watching this the day that it comes out, so none of us are at New York Comic Con yet. Maybe you're watching it on a Tuesday, the week that it comes out, and none of us are at New York Comic Con yet. Or maybe you're watching it on a Wednesday, when a lot of us are going to be flying, if we're not already living in New York, that is, flying to New York. And maybe you're watching it on the plane. Who knows? Maybe you bought Wi-Fi, you're like, and you're watching it on the plane. Or maybe you're watching it before you go. Who knows? Or maybe you're watching it while you're at New York Comic Con. But we are going to be at New York Comic Con, and when I say we, I mean me, Gracie the Cosplay Lass, Mass Mateo, Saddle Up, Seattle's Beauty, and Superman Fit for the Cosplay Content and Creation Panel, hosted by yours truly and presented by the podcast itself. Friday, October 13th, 10:30 a.m. in room 406.2. And current Chazzy, as of this recording, has no idea where that's at. So we're going to figure it out as we go. But it's going to be a great time. So I hope to see you guys there. I hope to see people that are flying in there. I hope to see people that live in New York there. As you guys may or may not know, I am from Brooklyn. My family is from Brooklyn. So if there's any Brooklynites in the house at the New York Comic Con panel, please stand up and let me know. Run it up for Brooklyn and New York as a whole. It's going to be a great time, and I can't wait to be back. And yeah, I hope you guys come, man. I think we're gonna have some giveaways too. I haven't announced it yet, but I'm trying to work that out. I think we're gonna have some awesome giveaways for you guys as well. So hope to see you there, New York Comic Con, Friday, October 13th, 10 a.m. Room 406.2. But enough about me and enough about that. Let's get into the bread and the butter of this week's episode, because it's another long time coming, as is the theme of this year, because my guest this week is one half of a very talented, respected, and creative duo that are a staple in the cosplay community, helping to provide a plethora of cosplayers with the products that they seek and partaking in lending a hand in bringing these cosplays to life in an eye-opening manner. Whether you need flex suits, emblem crafting, muscle forge, hero weave fabrics, gauntlets, belts, capes, and so much more. And I think I pronounced fabrics a little weird there, but we're just gonna run with it. They are sure to have you covered. And I can attest to their quality, having seen it in person myself alongside many previous guests and or cosplays of the week, such as Bat Mateo, Bradman Cosplay, Paper Moon, All-Star Cosplay, Amalia Cat, among several more. So like I said, it's a long time coming. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to suit up. Let's put our hands together and give a warm welcome to Thomas Adby, one half of Alter Ego Studios.
Hey, man. How's it going? Absolute pleasure.
Oh, man, I am so stoked to have you here, dude. Did I pronounce your last name right?
Yeah, I mean, rarely.
Okay. All right, just making sure, dude. How are you doing, man? How's the day been treating you?
Yeah, I'm really good. It's just been, I mean, obviously, it's a bit later here than it is there, but right. It's been a nice day.
Yeah, man, I'm stoked to have you here, dude. It's definitely been a long time coming. You and I have been in communication for a long time here over social media and everything, and then always with the cosplays of the week and then the guests that come on, we're always talking about your stuff. So long time coming to actually have you here and talk about these things, to hear it from the horse's mouth, basically, you know what I mean? Will.
And we really appreciate it. Like the amount of times we sort of watch your podcast, tune in and see people wearing our stuff. And you're always very good at giving us shout outs. So just thank you.
Man. Oh yeah, definitely, dude. I got to ask you, man, we talked about it very briefly before we hit record here, but the background there is amazing, dude. So you
I downloaded this.
It's a green screen and it's just an effect. That looks amazing, man. Did you guys make that yourself?
You know what? I made this display when I first moved into this house and found that it basically had like this big workshop at the back of it. And I've always had jobs sort of making stuff. My background is making stuff for TV and film and stuff like this anyway. Right. So when I found out I had it, and I've always obviously been a Batman fan, so I thought, oh, I'll make the display case. Yeah. And then I was like, well, what am I going to put in it? There we are.
It's so good looking, dude. Oh my God, man. It's about time for me to change up the backdrop of my show. And plus I'm going to be moving, hopefully when I come back from New York Comic Con, so, but within like a month. And I don't know what my set's going to end up looking like when I move. I'm not quite sure, you know, but I want to make some changes, and man, I may have to, especially being the cowl and everything that you already sent me, man, I may have to get something going with you, add some more stuff to the new backdrop, man. It would be an honor to have more of your stuff, dude, because you guys have quality
yeah,
work, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That display in the background there, you know, that attests to the quality as well, dude. But I want to get into it, man. I want to dive into it with you, dude. And right off the bat, pun intended, somewhat. One of the things I want to discuss with you is some of your amazing work with a few Batman. And we'll kind of go one by one here, starting off with previous guest and cosplay of the week, Bradman Cosplay. You provided Brad's belt, his gauntlets, his cowl, shot beautifully in a lot of these photos that will be thrown up on the screen, if not all of them, by previous guest Vicus Vids as well, an amazing photographer. This is just quality work, man. It all seems to fit Brad so perfectly. It's very movie-esque, man.
You took the words out of my mouth. The great thing with Brad is he's got that sort of jawline. He's built right? Like a truck. Like, he's perfect.
Yes. Yes, dude. You got the short bat ears on this cowl, the little crow's feet style markings on the side of the eyes. It's so greatly done, dude. And I got to ask you,
the DOJ cowl, it's such a popular cowl. And, you know, like, it was lovely. What's so lovely about it is how sort of asymmetric it is. You know, it looks sculpted. It looks hand sculpted. It doesn't look machined. It's that perfect organic look. But like this organic Batman, like back to his roots.
You nailed it. You took the words like right out of my mouth. That's such a perfect description for it, dude. I gotta ask you though, like when it comes to putting something together like this for a cosplayer such as Bradman here specifically, did you already have like the cowl, the belt, the gauntlet as a set, or was this something that you went about doing for Brad like after discussion? Like what's the process like when putting these things together for a cosplayer, for anybody that may be wondering what a discussion with you guys may be and like what your process is like, you know? Pretend maybe it's like somebody that hasn't worked with you and is reaching out to you. Like, what's the process like?
So the majority of the time, I mean, to make a cowl, first of all, obviously you need to make the mold for it. And that includes a lot of steps along the way. So doing custom work is actually like pretty expensive, or what most people would deem to be pretty pricey. Yeah. With the DOJ, it's actually something that we had the cowl done in the process of doing the cowl, when we'd sort of just finished it, we had someone reach out to us and say, oh, hey, look, would you consider doing the gauntlets? Would you consider doing the belt? Would you consider doing the other stuff? Before that person reached out, all we ever, and you know, my partner in crime here, Phil.
Yes, shout out to Phil, who's not here today. I mentioned one half is what we have here today.
Yeah, the better looking half of AE. So basically we were sort of thinking we'd only ever do cowls. And then we sort of looked, and the thing that the thing with A is we've always been quite multifaceted in our approach to making things. Like we have a big background in professional 3D printing, a big background in cosplay, a big background in TV and film, a big background in lots of different techniques of manufacturing that sort of all come together very nicely to produce what we need to produce. So we sort of realized that, yeah, you know, resin printing these belt parts, like getting the gauntlets done, like doing everything that we needed to do to produce these parts was well within our remit. And then, yeah, Brad, when Brad contacted us, it was easy because it's just like, yeah, we can make you the set, basically.
That's so cool. That's so cool. And it came together perfectly. Phenomenal work, like I said. And then, I mean, shout out to Brad, obviously, for also rocking it himself and doing the facial expressions that he does in the photos and really bringing that Batman to life as well. It definitely does take a team effort, starting with you guys making the products and everything and working on the projects. And then Brad pulling it together and then Vicus Vid shooting it and then editors that edit the amazing edits as well. It's an amazingly team effort, man. And
it's like a conveyor belt, you know, whereas if everyone along the line does their job and does their job well, right from the printing to the making to the shipping to the wearing to the putting it together to the having the right frame, the right mannerisms, the right feel, like having the right mindset, the editor to do the photos, and then like presenting them the right way. It's a massive team effort, like anything really.
It really is, and it's something that I don't think a lot of people, you know, the average person, I guess you could say, truly can understand or visualize. They just see the awesome photo or the video or, you know, the moment, and it's just like what you said, look at how many things it has to go through before it gets to that moment, you know what I mean? And it takes everybody coming together to make everything everybody ends up seeing, you know,
and a lot of passion. Like, these people are very passionate about what they do, about making other people happy.
Yeah, definitely, man. And you guys are making everybody happy, because between Brad's Bat cosplay here over to Bat Mateo's version, another previous cosplay of the week, specifically speaking on the cowl, you guys worked on this iteration too. And I say iteration because though the cosplays may sit in the same realm, Batman, kind of similar Batman style as well, the cowls are actually different, and I dig that. And I don't believe that I'm seeing, like, the crow's feet on the side, like how Brad had, but rather, with Bat Mateo's, it's much more expression in the brow, that, like, you know, angry-ish Batman, that concerned Batman. And Bat Mateo's obviously rocking the white eyes as well in this iteration with some of the photos we have here. Something that I spoke on as well last episode when I made him the cosplay of the week. And I got a chance to work with Bat Mateo myself at Dragon Con this past September, and I saw everything in person, man. So once again, I can attest to your guys' quality, and it's flawless, dude. And I saw Mateo with the white eyes when he was rocking this cowl. But there's a photo on his Instagram from the first time that he put the cowl on where he doesn't have the white eyes, and where he states something that he likes is that he did not have to wear black eye makeup. So I don't know for certain if that's due to the way that you guys made this specific iteration or something else, because he doesn't specify. But I did take note, like, between Brad's and Bat Mateo's here, it seems to me, at least in photos, like the eyes are maybe a little bit smaller. Go ahead and correct me if I'm wrong. But would the fact that he doesn't have to wear black eye makeup be attributed to you guys in the way that you presented this creation? And was the making of this cowl a collaborative effort with Bat Mateo's input, or was it something you guys already had or went about solely?
So, you're absolutely right in basically everything that you said. first of all, this is the fabric cowl, which I've got to say, like, is in my opinion, and from what we've witnessed, like, by far one of the most popular cowls. Like, people just love that look. And of course, like, credit to the artist, you know, Jason Fabok, who sort of did it all in the first place. And then that cowl is obviously a sculpt that is based on his work, a sculpt done by Deving, Art Deving. So shout out to him, because he does absolutely amazing work. And then, got it printed, molded it, made it. So we had that going before he reached out to us, but he wears it well, and it's got, it's got the sort of smaller eyes. So what's nice about it is it has that sort of, that more sort of like angry scowl about it.
Yes.
And it suits him really well, even though it's the same suit as Brad was wearing, I believe. Right. If you put up the picture, I think you put up, then...
If it's not the same exact one, it's that like Batflex style, that Frank Miller big Batman, you know what I mean? It's one of those, definitely, yeah.
Are you a white eyes guy, or are you a...
I kind of am. I think it depends. It depends on a few things. I mean, it depends on like the whole suit itself for me. It depends on the cowl and everything for me as well. And in this style, the way that I see cosplayers doing a little bit more of a Batfleck, if you want to go the movie route, or a Frank Miller, if you want to go the comic route, that kind of big, bulky Batman, I kind of like it with the wide eyes, man.
Yeah,
I kind of do. Are you not a wide-eyed Batman?
No, I've never really seen it being done properly in live action. Mm-hmm. I think, like, in comics and cartoons, it works.
Right.
But I just want to see it done and done right in live action for me to be convinced that it's something that works. But do you know what?
It's
the same with the black eye makeup. Like, it was never really something that was ever discussed or something that was ever made like a very prominent thing until Robert Pattinson, the Batman, and he takes his cowl off. You're just like, oh, okay, big black eye. Cool.
Yeah.
You know, just address it. Talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah, but, I think you brought up a good point. Like, I think with the live action, it's somewhat difficult to do the white eyes. Only because, and I think, again, Robert Pattinson really brought this to light much more, in my opinion. And it's no shade to any of the other Batman, but I just feel like Robert Pattinson did, say whatever you want about the movie. I know it was more widely loved than it wasn't, but I know there's some people out there that still aren't convinced that he's, you know, Batman or Bruce Wayne or whatever route you want to take. But I think the one thing that a lot of us can agree on is that he did a very good job at portraying emotion with just his eyes. Through the cowl. And I think when you take that emotion with the eyes away and you just have the white eyes, how is Batman portraying emotion in live action?
It's a hard job, isn't it? Because you're a guy in a rubber suit with a rubber mask. Like, there's only so much that you can do. You know what I mean? It's like, when I see these actors take on that role, a lot of it to me is like, do they make a good Bruce Wayne?
Right.
You know,
that's like, an important aspect. You're kind of almost playing two characters if you think about it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you have to then take it above and beyond and be a really good actor to actually get anything out of you expression wise whilst you've actually got that cowl on. And I thought you did a great job, but look, like, two things about Batman. First of all, I think anyone can be Batman. And if I didn't think that, I wouldn't be doing this and I wouldn't be helping people to achieve that dream. And the second thing is, I'm easy to please. You could draw a picture of Batman on like a lollipop stick and sing na 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 for about an hour and a half. And at the end, I would clap and say that is a thoroughly entertaining movie.
You're just happy to see something Batman every time.
yeah, right? But like, I'm not a very picky guy. I think it's very easy to be critical, and I'm not.
And I gotta say, and Batman fans, I mean superhero fans in general, but I feel like Batman fans, we are very critical. Like I say we because sometimes I am, but sometimes I'm not. I think it depends on things. But with certain things, I definitely am. And like I want. Well, we'll get to it. I was gonna ask you a question, but I reminded myself I have a question later. That'll cover that later. So we'll circle back to what I was going to say.
To drag things back to sort of where we were on point is, have you seen Bat Mateo's Instagram reel that he does where he's wearing that cowl, but he's doing all the emojis?
I don't think I saw that one.
I'll
put it on the screen right now if people are probably watching it, but I'll go back and I'll look at it. Editing Chazzy will figure it out. But I don't remember if I saw that one or not. I can't recall. But he pulls off, he does the white eyes. I like the white eyes. I really like them in his iteration. It looks great in person too, because I've seen it in person.
it's something that we get asked for all the time. Like, oh, can you put the white eyes in? Can you put the white eyes in? Mm-hmm. And we generally just don't. We love it, but we generally don't, because everyone wants to use something different. Some people want to use like computer fan mesh. Mm-hmm. Some people want to use like silk mesh, power mesh, like fabric types, material, all sorts of stuff. So we just say, look, it's easier for you to do it and to find the thing that you like than it is for us to do it.
Right. I believe, if I'm correct, I think Matteo used contacts for his version.
Yeah. There you go. That's another thing.
I think that's what happened. You also provided previous cosplay of the week, All-Star Cosplay, with yet another phenomenal, but I don't know if it's slightly different or not, or if it's the same cowl that Bat Mateo has, but he's doing his anti-Green Lantern bat suit. And I got to ask, did you make this thing yellow, or did you send it in black and All-Star made the alterations for it?
We made a yellow one, and we also made a red one. It stings the eye, doesn't it?
Oh, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. It's yellow, really, dude.
Cool. when I see people do this sort of like crazy stuff, or I mean, it's not like crazy, but it's different, and I love it. I love seeing people sort of do their own spin. I mean, I won't say anything. I don't want to ruin it, but keep your eyes on him, because we're helping him to do something else coming up for Christmas, and it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. And I just love that sort of cosplay.
Wait. Yeah.
But we made a yellow one. We've made yellow ones, blue. Mm-hmm. Obviously blue is like a more popular color anyway, but he's also got a red one somewhere. I think he's got a red DOJ.
Oh, nice. So is this the same cowl that Bat Mateo has? Aside from the yellow, obviously.
That is the fabric, yeah.
Okay, I was just double-checking.
That reminds me, so you asked earlier whether Bat Mateo commissioned it. He didn't commission it, no. We already had it already. But one thing that we do have that is in the pipeline that we're making and that Bat Mateo did commission is the version 2 long-eared fabric. You can whip that up on the screen.
Yes, man.
That is what's coming. It's been in the pipeline for quite a while. We said that it was coming. There have been a couple of like pushbacks. Yeah, I mean,
but it's happening.
People said they really like it, so I'm looking forward to getting that done. I really like the texture on it. It's a slightly less fine leather grain on it, and the long ear just makes it look menacing. It's great.
Yeah, I got to ask you real quick. Short ears, medium-ish ears, long ears. What do you like on a Batman? Like, what's your personal preference?
Okay. I like long aesthetically, okay? Mm-hmm. But I like medium to short. But, I mean, Chaz, like, I, how much cosplay have you done?
Me, myself? I have not cosplayed yet myself officially, but there's things in the works.
Yeah, and I've heard there's rumors on there, and I won't say anything. But I've heard
there's a good couple. I'm coming out with a bang. That's all I'll say. When I do it, there's a good couple that are already in the works right now.
How tall are you?
I am only 5'7", man.
Right. Okay. So long ears is fine for you.
Mm-hmm. It could
imagine be. Imagine having long ears and cosplaying with long ears and walking through normal doorways. It's not fun. Like, it doesn't look cool. It doesn't look cool when Batman's got to walk through doorways doing a limbo.
It's either back or it's forward. You've got to pick one, you know?
All the enemies are like, who the fuck is this?
I never really thought about that. Like, actual everyday. That would be hilarious. We got to find one of the cosplayers out there. Take this idea. You can steal this idea. Make a Batman with the long ears. If any of the cosplayers that have Batman with long ears, make some reels. Make like a little series of Batman. Shout out to Imposter Cosplay, because we kind of collaborated on this idea as well. He just did a mundane Myers for Michael Myers, where he has Michael Myers doing everyday, regular, mundane activities. And he's doing like a series on Instagram for Halloween. A Batman cosplayer with long ears, you got to make some sort of like, like funny situation of Batman doing everyday real stuff with the long ears getting in the way, you know?
Exactly. If you play the Arkham games, all the doors are 9 foot tall. Who the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
Like
exactly. You got to take that idea, some of the cosplayers out there. That's hilarious, man. I want to throw up on the screen this beautiful close-up shot by Vicus Vids, circling back a moment to Bradman cosplay, because it really showcases your guys' texture and the quality of this cowl. And I got to ask, what are you making the cowls out of? And like, what's the process? Break it down for us as if there's someone that's out here hearing it for the first time. Whatever you'd like to give away and whatever techniques you don't want to give away, however you'd like to go about it. But I mean, what's the process like?
To get a nice finish on a cowl, there is like, obviously, every step along the way, you sort of need to do the best that you can do. Now, one of the things that I think separates us out from other people that might make cowls is me and Phil have quite a big history in manufacturing and professional grade 3D printing.
Nice.
When the pandemic first started, me and Phil, we joined this organization that basically made PPE and like health and safety equipment for like different hospitals and stuff. And through that, we also made contact with a lot of different manufacturers and people that had like 3D printing companies that had these like big machines that were just sitting idle, not doing anything.
Yeah.
So they wanted to basically join the effort, and we were a part of this organization. So we sort of said, yeah, you know, come on board. We'll help you as much as you can. And they were just really grateful. And when it all was over, or when the bits of safety equipment like visors and stuff, headbands, started to come in from China, we basically said, well, you know, now you owe us a favor. And that's how A was born, really, because we sort of realized that we had all this passion and all this ability and all these contacts to be able to do some pretty amazing stuff. So we actually get our masters, or some of them, resin printed by resin printers that are worth like, I'll put it like $750,000.
Yeah.
Like per resin printer. So these are like top grade. They print like Formula One car racing parts.
Jeez.
On these printers. Like,
yeah.
So we're just like, okay, print this. And they're sort of eyebrows raised. And we're like, yeah, it's cool. Like, you know, just do it. And yeah. And then the next thing is, once you've actually got that, then, and this is where Phil works, his magic. So one of the things that Phil is absolutely amazing at is detailing. Like, he has a big history. He's actually got a big history in Iron Man cosplay. And, to get those shines, to get those finishes, to get like everything smooth and the layers of paint and the lacquer and everything that he does is just, he works his absolute magic. And so basically spends his time sort of getting rid of those, I don't know if you know about 3D printing, but getting rid of the layer lines.
Right. Yeah.
Really like spending his time going in on the fine detail on this stuff to make sure that it's the nicest finish that he can possibly get.
Right.
And then, once that's ready, then we make the mold for it. And, you know, even I say going into this, like we sort of knew our stuff, but even in the sort of short time that we've been doing A, which is about like 3-4 years now, we've learned a lot of new techniques. And now we're sort of doing matrix molds by 3D printing the shell. In fact, right. I'll send you a video of us doing that in sort of fast motion.
Yeah.
It's like more precise, saves on time. Once that mold's ready, we then, the other trick is that we rotocast our cowls. So instead of basically slush casting, pouring the urethane rubber in and then draining it out and tipping it upside down, which sometimes leaves like drip marks and bits inside, we keep it rotating constantly in motion on a rotocaster. So it means that all the material gets as evenly spread as it can around, giving it a nice even finish, which we think sort of separates us from some of the other people as well.
Yeah.
And then
definitely.
Last thing is putting on the Easy-On lining, which is basically before the last layer of urethane sets. We just throw in some talc and it gives it that sort of like nice rough texture. Like it's not like a smooth gloss texture that sort of grips and wants to sort of rip your hair out and turn you bald as you put it on. Like it sort of slips straight on. And then it's everything, and then it's the cut job, and then again, it's the photography. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I can see the pic you're talking about, and it's just an amazingly nicely taken picture and a great job by the cosplayer wearing it.
Yeah. Yeah, Brad did an amazing job. Vikas did an amazing job. You guys did an amazing job. Almost circling back to exactly what we said earlier, that it kind of takes a team effort to bring that final product through. And you guys did an amazing job. I really like that Brad and Vikas, whoever's idea it was between the two to do these close-up shots with the lights and everything, because it just worked out perfectly for me right now to have this conversation with you, because it shows such a close-up. When we were there, they specifically did this shot for me because we thought into the future about how we were going to have Tom here on the show. I remember that. So shout out to those guys. Thank you guys so much for thinking of the Side Project podcast. This is amazing, man. And it just shows the texture again and the quality that you guys uphold. And I love it, dude. I love it, man. I want to talk to you about some more things, but I hear something. Hold on. It's a segment that I like to call... Wow! Shotgun questions. And what shotgun questions is a little bit of a more rapid fire segment real quick that we do that I don't prep the guest about, that some guests don't know if they've never watched the whole episode. And those that do know that it's going to happen, but they don't know when it's happening. And right now for Tom, it's happening right here. Like I said, it's supposed to be a little bit more rapid fire, but it never really ends up that rapid fire. We always end up having a little bit of a conversation, and that's perfectly fine. It's about 3 to 4 questions, and let's see how much fun we can have real quick with shotgun questions. You partake in a crucial contribution within the cosplay community, but it's more so behind the scenes, if you will. Let's say that you were more so in the forefront. I don't know if you ever have, but let's say if you were a cosplayer yourself, if you were to ever cosplay, do you have any cosplays that you ever thought about doing yourself?
Oh, very good question. Right, there's from I think it's like Arkham City or Arkham Origins, there's like this massive tonk Batman, like a it's like an yeah. A something, I can't remember now, AO suit. I'll send you a picture that?
Yeah,
on the screen now.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
the one. Either that, or I've got an idea, and if I can pull it off in time for this Halloween, I'm gonna do it. I'd love to do Scarecrow.
Oh my gosh, dude, me too. Me too, dude. But you guys have the ability to pull that off much more. Yeah, that's sick, man. Yes, dude. Yeah, that would be so cool.
We'll find out.
Yeah, definitely, right? Out of these Batmen, you've got Keaton, Bale, Affleck, Pattinson. You can only choose one, and the rest and their universe cease to exist. Who do you pick?
Ooh. Pattinson.
Ooh, Pattinson. We're getting Pattinson answers more and more here.
Out with the old, in with the new. Look, like, yeah. I love the other two, but, and the thing is, as well, is you didn't say Conroy, so.
I did it. I only picked these four because, I don't know, like, some people want me to include, like, Clooney and Kilmer and, like, you know, and much more, yeah, even Clooney, even Adam West.
Clooney.
Clooney, you got it with the back credit card.
Everyone else can fuck off, and we'll just have Clooney sort of like.
Last question here. We're only doing three. If you could time travel, this one's a little bit more out of the realm of pop culture, but if you could time travel to any period, any era, where would you go and why? And you can have up to three different places.
It's weird you should ask that, because my other job is I'm a history teacher. So that's good question.
Oh, man, I love history, dude.
I would. I mean, there's a meme going around at the moment, which is how often does your husband think about the Romans? Just like all the time.
Yes, all dude. Me and Tahir were talking about that.
Right now. Last night, I'm thinking about
always.
The Romans.
I'm ready to go. Yes, anytime. I'm thinking about it always.
Romans. I'd love ancient Egyptians. That's, do you know what? Like, the problem with all of these different times in history is is just the medicine shit. I'd like to go. Yeah. I'd like to go back and then come back to now. Before like I had a heart attack, or before I got like an abscess
yes,
or something
exactly.
like this. Like,
yeah, That's hilarious. Yeah, yeah. People always ask me too. I know you got one more choice here if you have a third one. But people always ask me sometimes too, like, all right, well, what are the rules here to this? Like, am I time traveling and then I can't come back? I've never set the rules. I've always just kind of left it up to the person that's because, like, then it gets so intricate and we could almost do a whole episode on that, you know what I mean? Or like half an episode on that. But like, are you time traveling? Can you come back? Are you time traveling and interacting, or are you time traveling and just observing? Like, I know I have so many questions myself, so I don't know. I've always just kind of left it up to the person that's answering, you know?
Well, assuming, I have the ability to time travel, right? Mm-hmm. So I can probably hop around.
Right.
And Tudors would also be interesting. So, yes. You know, 500 years ago. They say, if you go back to any time in history, though, they say the first thing you notice is the smell.
Right. Right. It's something that I always think about too, because a lot of people will choose like times where we didn't have like modern plumbing and things like that. And it's always something that crosses my mind. Like instantly, the smell in the streets just must be horrid, you know?
How about you though? Like, and also I'm guessing when you time travel, you also get to teleport to different places. Because if I could only time travel, but I time traveled and I was still like here, This would be shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah. Like I would assume and hope that you would be able to, like, yeah, exactly. You don't want to just be right here in the exact moment. You know what I mean? It's just the time changing around you, but you're just stuck in the same exact position and place. Like, well, that would suck.
It's worse for you because you've got less history than we do. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Like, right. Yeah. Yeah. I'd have no idea like where I live, what it would be like, what would it even be for me? You know what I mean? Like, you guys have a lot more rich history, and that's actually like, for me, a lot of the places that I would time travel to are not like, they're not in the United States. That's for sure. You know, it's always elsewhere. Like what am I going to see here? You know what I mean? Unless you go back to like, super far back to like maybe like the dinosaur era and stuff where they just roamed several of the entire planet, then I mean, it kind of doesn't it does matter where you go, but for a lack of better words, it kind of doesn't matter where you go. You're seeing dinosaurs either way, some form. So interesting, man. Very, very interesting, dude. So that's shotgun questions.
I had a good time.
Like I said, I do want to talk to you more, but we're actually going to speed up something a little bit and let's break up the monotony and let's get into this week's Cosplay of the Week. And this week's Cosplay of the Week is none other than Superman Fit, who's going to be on the cosplay content creation panel at this year's New York Comic Con coming up in as of this recording in a week. But if you're watching this right now, then it may be happening as you're watching this. Who knows? And I'm throwing it up on the screen right about now. And this is absolutely amazing. It is his Arkham Knight. And the photo that we're looking at right now, the caption says Arkham's Knight in shining armor. And he goes on to say, at the time of this caption being made, obviously this post being made, he says, "This is my new favorite shot of the suit. The weathering is highlighted perfectly. All of the dimensions look spot on, and the little details show beautifully. Can't wait to get more action shots in this thing." And this photo is by Jonathan_W_Cabrera, spelled exactly how it sounds. And I gotta agree, Jared, that's Superman Fit's name. Jared, this shot is beautifully done. It does show everything beautifully. I love everything about this man. Here, let me zoom up a little bit so I can give a little bit more details here. The eyes and everything that are lit up, just everything about this man, the way that you got the ears going, it just, I gotta know, dude. Like, I mean, I'm gonna talk to you at the panel, so I will know, but for the sake of this podcast and the entertainment purposes, I gotta know, man, like what it's all made out of and how you did it and everything. And you know, after the panel, dude, we gotta get you on the show so we can like really break it down even more so, dude, from the shoulders to the chest piece and everything in between, dude. It absolutely looks amazing. And I want to throw up a second shot while we're continuing to talk about this, and that is up now. And this one is oh man, what is that in the background? I'm drawing a blank. I have no idea. We've got Tom here from Alter Ego. One half of Alter Ego Studios is here right now. If you didn't watch the entire episode and you're just seeing the clip on Instagram right now for Superman Fit's Cosplay of the Week, like I said, one half of Alter Ego Studios is here right now. They are prop makers and they make all kinds of different stuff. Go watch the episode to get the full thing. But Tom, I know you're in the United Kingdom, so I have no idea if you know this second shot, if you remember what it looks like. I don't know if you have it in front of you right now. The second shot for Superman fit, the background, if you have any idea. I know you're in the UK.
Which picture are you looking at? I'm just on his Instagram.
The second one with the guns. Oh, you're just on his Instagram. Okay, yeah. I thought maybe you had the shots in front of you. So this may or may not get cut for time purposes, because we're both not on the same page here. But yeah, now I can't explain it. I'm looking at the one with the guns. He probably has so many with the guns.
I also asked.
Yeah, right? Like, I can't remember where this is at right now. I'm drawing a blank. I also asked, though, because again,
it's Washington, right?
Is it Washington? It is in Washington, isn't it? I think so.
Yeah,
and it's weird that
this is your country, not mine.
I know, like, I know. But to save
you
face
off
here,
green card, congratulations.
To save face here, if people again didn't see the whole episode, the reason I'm asking also is because you're a history teacher, so maybe you might know certain things that maybe the average, you know, person abroad doesn't. But anyway, making myself look like I don't know what's going on in my own country. But this this shot is absolutely amazing as well. I like the blur, you know, the focus on Jared and everything, and the blur of the background. Jared states that the files are by DO3D_COM on Instagram, and designed obviously by Rocksteady Games, because this is from the game. Jared, this is amazing, man. From the way that you've got the pants and everything, that kind of cargo-ish style pants, to the you can see the legs more on this photo. You can see the guns and everything. The prop guns, gotta say that now these days, you guys all know, we gotta say that the prop guns, it's amazing, man. And I can't wait to talk with you more on the panel a little bit about how you did stuff, and then eventually we'll get a full episode going, man. Hopefully we'll get a full episode going. I'll talk with you more about everything. Tom, do you have anything you want to add before we wrap this segment up?
Yeah. I think it's the Washington Monument. And,
I think it is, yeah.
I'm not going to pretend like I knew that. I just looked it up.
He also says in the caption, which I just didn't pay any attention, his caption says, "Storm in the Capitol." So that would have given me my answer, and I just wasn't paying attention.
It's
so
simple when you know. But look, yeah, like Jared,
exactly.
The thing I love about Jared is that, like, he's not just an amazing cosplayer, but, like, he's a maker in his own right. Like, his attention to detail is absolutely fantastic. The stuff that he makes is really cool. And the engineering as well. In fact, like, on his Insta, there's another clip of him. He's sort of done this, like, Hawkman, and he's engineering these wings that come up. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
and
I'm so happy that he brought that up, actually. I'm sorry, go ahead.
If you want to support this guy, like, his Linktree on his Insta takes you to his Etsy shop, where you can get, like, files for, like, the Nightwing sticks and some of the art that he does. So support this guy.
Yeah, 100%, man. Yeah, Jared, this is amazing, man. Can't wait to, as of this recording, can't wait to do the New York Comic Con panel with you and talk with you more about your cosplays, because they're absolutely amazing. Such as you mentioned the Hawkman. Tom, you mentioned Jared's Hawkman. Definitely go check out his Hawkman if you haven't. He's got that video where the wings are actually going up automatically, or probably, you know, remotely or whatever. But you know what I mean. He's not lifting his arms and doing it. They're actually behind him and lifting up. It's phenomenal. Go check him out at Superman Fit with 2 T's at the end, because Superman Fit, your archive. Night cosplay of the week for me and Tom from Alter Ego Studios is amazing, man. Tom, I want to talk with you more, man, before we end up getting out of here. I know that you just recently promoted your new Spider-Gwen triangle fabric. You also have your Hex fabrics, the beautiful Tri-Weave fabrics as well, and more. You guys are doing suits, Nexus, Flex, and so much more. What's your process of getting these fabrics cosplay ready, these suits cosplay ready? Like, what are you guys doing? What are you guys providing? Like, what can people expect, knowing that they can get such high quality cowls and gauntlet work and belts and more? Like, what are things on the fabric and suit side?
What I think sets us apart is, as I mentioned before, is we just always try and strive to use the best of the best machines, the best technology, the best that we can possibly produce. So, you know, like, we get our, in fact, I've got some of that triangle stuff right there. It's really nice. Like, we get it professionally done on, we're very lucky that where we're based nearby, we have a company that we work very closely with, and we use their equipment to actually produce these very large scale panels. So less seams means that you can do better costumes. So the fabric is really nice. It's on four-way stretch spandex, so extremely comfortable, lots of flexibility. The other thing that we do is, of course, we've got our foam muscles. And what makes us a little bit different there is that we've actually made two-part molds. So it's not just foam that's sort of poured into the front and then on the back it's all bumpy and lumpy and you've got to sort of stick it down. Yeah. Actually, it's all perfectly contoured to fit the body on that's the beautiful. Back. Yeah. And yeah, basically it means that when you're doing a glue down job, when you're putting those muscles on, it's mm-hmm. comfortable. Again, everything fits where it's supposed to fit. And it's just about taking the extra time in the process so that the result and the conclusion is just of a higher quality. And that's what we hope to produce. So we use the best of the best. And if it's something that we don't think we can do, we hire someone or we get someone in to basically be the best. We work with professionals.
Right.
Professional costume makers that have been in the industry for years.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. I got a little bit of a weird question for you since you were talking about like all that kind of stuff and you showed off the fabrics as well. Like, what would you say are some of the differences between fabrics or suits from a maker's perspective here when it comes to things like Batman in comparison to someone like Spider-Man, for instance, because you want a different style, a different tone, a different texture, even from a character like Bats to someone like Peter's friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. There's differences there in the suits and everything. So if someone came to you and was a new cosplayer and said that they wanted to get things going for a Batman, or someone came to you and said they want to get things going for a Spidey, what would your and how, if so, recommendations and professional input change from cosplay to cosplay, character to character? Like, what would your recommendations be for each?
I mean, my recommendation, being absolutely honest, is, you know, if you're Batman, you want to be very strong looking. You want to be very top heavy. You want the muscles. You want the definition. That's what I think in my mind. Right. If you're Spider-Man, you know, like the Peter Parker or Miles version, you just want to have a leaner body. You don't necessarily want the muscles, unless of course you're doing the the
2099
version, and that one obviously in the new cartoon has sort of a very top heavy muscly look, but aside from that, like, I would say if you're doing Batman, go for a nice textured look, use screen printed fabric. If you're going for Spider-Man and you're just entering into it, get like a dye sub suit to begin with. Maybe something like, and shout out to Super Geek Designs as well for their stuff. That's where I'd send people, as I would say, go there, see what they've got, dip your toe into the water. And then if you like it, then come back to us and we'll see what we can do as far as screen printed fabrics. Because again, we've got the sort of black on red hex and you can sort of delve into it a little bit deeper.
Yeah, definitely. Beautifully said, man. Beautifully said. You gave me like this awesome, blessed opportunity, man. And I won't give away everything, of course, of like a workshop tour, dude, where you guys craft these phenomenal creations that you do. And it truly gave me even more of an appreciation for the effort and the time that goes into providing cosplayers with everything that you guys do and have to bring their cosplays to life in such a bright light. And one of the things that I got the chance to see before it was 100%, and I'll tread lightly, like I said here, on saying too much, and I'll leave it in your hands on what you want to say, but you guys are working on like an easy way for with emblems. There's something going on here with emblems. Like, I don't want to say too much. Maybe they're a little easily interchangeable, easily slapped on. Like, what's
we have things in the pipeline all the time that we're trying to work on. Me and Phil sit there a lot, and the conversations that we have on a weekly basis is like, how do we change this game? Like, how do we make things more innovative? How can we make things more exciting? How can we make people half of it's like, how can we make it a more immersive experience? How can we plus it? But then another way of thinking it is, well, how can we make things more bespoke? Because people like to change up their cosplays a lot, right? Yeah. So, you know, it'll be things like adding the voice changers, which is unique to us, that we put in the belts and stuff like this. But one of the things that we've been working on recently is working on magnetic urethane, which is a little bit crazy. I've actually got the sample that I showed you right here. Wow, so you know, basically the idea is to basically make the urethane magnetic in a way that, and in the way that you could just get one of our emblems and it was simply magnets on. So you've got your chest piece, you just change your emblem, sometimes a normal chest, sometimes an armored chest, and you literally just think, nah, I want that emblem today. And you just put the new one on. Cool, and I won't tell you too much how that's done.
You got to keep some of the techniques a secret, you know? Exactly. Beautifully done, dude. I love it, man. I love it. When you showed me that, I was so hyped. I was like, dude, that's so cool, man. That's so cool. And I just got to double back real quick and be brutally honest about like what I said. And this stands for anybody that's doing any kind of work in this community and putting anything in creatively or you know, a craft or anything. Like I said, you gave me a workshop tour and you even mentioned that I might be the only one that's ever got it or very few have ever got it. And it really did, honest to God, not for entertainment purposes or anything like that. You guys know everybody that's been a guest that's on this show or people that tune in. I definitely am genuine. I'm never bullshitting anybody. It really did give me so much more of an appreciation because you guys, you went in depth in that video. You guys sent me like an 8-9 minute video, like really go. And I'm not, there's nothing bad about that. I'm saying it's awesome. Like I'm genuinely interested. And it was like MTV Cribs of workshops, dude. And it was so cool, dude. And it really did give me a major appreciation for how much actually goes into it, man. And I don't know if, you know, the average person truly knows that. And we kind of touched on this a little bit in the beginning of the episode, but I don't know if the average person truly understands or can comprehend how much actually goes into it. And I don't even know if all cosplayers themselves know, because there's cosplayers, there's nothing wrong with this either. There's cosplayers out there that don't craft anything or make anything themselves. They just, you know, commission it and obtain it, and they don't, you know, do anything other than rock it and wear it, you know, and that's perfectly fine as well. I'm not throwing shade at all. I couldn't throw any shade, you know what I mean? But there's so much that goes into it from what I saw on this tour, man. And kudos to you guys, and kudos to anybody that's in that same realm or even cosplayers that do it themselves as well. It's phenomenal, dude. And I always hear on this podcast and everything I do, give credit to everybody, anybody I can, whether it's a prop maker, whether they designed something, whether they printed something, whether it's the file makers, whatever, and everything in between, I always give credit. And this just showed me like to give even more credit than I already do, because you guys do phenomenal work and you put in so much time and effort. So, I mean, just to anybody watching right now as well, I know you guys we can't really do it together, but just a round of applause to people like yourselves, man. And with that being said, before we get out of here, I want to ask, like, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but how did this all start for you guys, for both you and Phil, like just getting into this realm in general? And, you know, I know you mentioned that you were in film work and doing different things as well, but how did it start so much for like cosplayers? Like what brought it to that?
It's when, for us, passion meets opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's realizing that we had the resources available to us to make what we were passionate about come to life for other people. Yeah. And that's it really is, as I mentioned before, you know, we had companies that owed us favors. We had access to equipment and machines that we knew that no one else did. Mm-hmm. And we realized that we could bring something to the table. We could produce something of very, very high quality, we think. Yeah, and definitely. And so that's just it, is we sort of broke our backs trying to do it and make it a possibility. Like even from my days when I was like in college and university, you know, like one of the things that I was always taught is that as long as you approach it with the right attitude and as long as you sort of do enough research and you know how to get something done, making something that's in your head into a tangible physical reality, it's not impossible. You just need to go ahead and sort of manifest it and have that positive mental attitude to get it done. Yes. And that's 100%. What we do.
Yeah, 100%, man. When it comes to like the behind the scenes of what you and Phil do, Is there like different things that you guys do? Because you kind of touched on that too about like Phil doing certain things, and you gave him his props and everything for doing what he does. Like, is there like certain roles that you guys play at Alter Ego?
Absolutely, and those roles, you know, like those roles switch all the time as well. Mm-hmm. We have like if you've got like a Venn diagram of Phil's skill set and then my skill set, the overlap is about half. So there's a lot of things that I can do that Phil can't do. And there's an awful lot of things that Phil can do that I can't do. And there's some things that we can both do, but one of us is better at. So a lot of the time, you know, we'll tag team it between us. Like if we're going to get something printed, often I might do maybe a little bit more of the 3D modeling work, and I might do a little bit of my speciality is very much the sort of chemicals, like the urethanes, the rubbers, the molding, like all of those materials that I used to use and I've like trained in, and I'm still got a student loan and still in debt paying off to learn how to do, which is fun. And then Phil's absolutely amazing at finishing. He's much better with the 3D printing. He just knows his shit, man. Like he's just, and he's a workhorse as well. Like he just absolutely gives it his all. A lot of it is just attitude. He's great to work with. So we just tag teams things back and forwards constantly, basically. Any new ideas we have, we try and bounce them off each other. So
definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, we have different roles, but they switch and they're interchangeable.
Definitely, man. Definitely. What do you guys got coming up for the future? Like, is there anything that you want to reveal, can reveal? I mean, other than the emblem stuff that you were working on? Because you did mention earlier that you always got stuff in the pipeline. You're always working on new things. Is there anything that people can look forward to that you can talk about?
Well, you just said, oh, what stuff that I can talk about? Yeah.
things that you can talk about.
We're transitioning very much into suits. So you're going to see more things come up in the pipeline. Maybe more like gauntlet designs, fabrics, muscles, different suit designs coming up. One thing that we are working on that, I'm waiting for someone to contact me and say, I want a Beyond suit. Because when they ask for a Beyond suit, I'm going to incorporate this, and you can play the reel now and I'll send it to you to play.
Okay. Yes.
It's programmable LEDs.
Oh.
So what we want to do is we want to embed them either underneath the muscles or underneath the outer suit, going down the trim or going down the piping, so that basically you can just have these like amazing like LEDs flowing, like this flow of like power through the suit or something like that. But I'm just waiting for the right opportunity, because, you know, when it comes to sort of gimmicky stuff like that, you need to use it right. You can't just bang it in any old suit. Yeah. So yeah, lots of things. As I said, we're sort of multifaceted. We've got a lot of different disciplines. So there's things on the horizon. Just keep your eyes peeled. Follow us. Periodically check in on the website, see what's new.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. With that being said, dude, I want to thank you so much for being here, man. This has been a long time coming. It's so cool. You are my first guest that is a dedicated, if you will, say, prop maker, suit maker, however you want to label it. I've had people, cosplayers on that also dabble in that, some that do more than others, such as CJ Prop Studio, Heroes for Hire, Paper Moon Cosplay, who do a lot of their own stuff as well, if not almost all of it. But you are kind of the first dedicated one, and it's really cool to sit down and talk with you more in depth about everything that you guys do. And I also just kind of hope in the back of my mind to anybody tuning in that they actually got a lot more from this that maybe they don't know, because I personally find it super interesting myself, and I hope there's other people out there that find it as interesting as I do. So I want to thank you so much for being here, man. It's been awesome. Before we head out, I want to give you the floor to say whatever it is that you want to say, whatever's on your mind. And then also, please let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just want to thank you very much for having the dedication to sort of every make these podcasts all the time, basically like present people's passion in an exciting and energetic way so that more people can sort of appreciate this. Yeah, like not a lot of people have the gumption to do what you're doing. So
thank you, man.
It's great. Thank you very much. And yeah, if people want to find us, they can find us on Instagram, @A_cosplaysuits, or go to our website, www.alterego-studios.com. Yeah, keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, definitely,
it's
man.
Been a pleasure serving.
Oh, yes. Go follow them. And to everybody tuning in, thank you for watching, for liking, for commenting, for sharing, for doing all of those beautiful things that you do over on YouTube.com/Side Project Podcast. When you go down, you hit that big red subscribe button. And when you hit it, it goes, and you get 100 sexy project points. Thank you for watching on Spotify as well, because videos are available on Spotify. When you follow and you rate, you do all those things that you do over there as well. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. If you're looking for me, you can find me on Instagram @IGHates Chazzy. That is my personal. Everything else you need to find me at is on the screen right about now. But if you're looking for the podcast as a whole, you can find it on Side. You can find it on Instagram @Side Project Podcast. And that's project with a K. Don't forget to hit the Side Project merch store where you can get all this amazing stuff that you see on the screen right now. Got to get my announcer voice going on for me and for Tom, one half of Alter Ego Studios. We are out of here.